Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day to all you moms. In fact, why don't all you moms stand up? Moms, grandmoms, I want you to just all stand up. Thank you. God bless you. This is your day, and the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 that we are to honor our father and our mother. And so here we have come today to gather and do what God told us to do, and that is honor the moms here and the grandmothers here. Somebody said that parenthood is heredity. And if your parents didn't have children, chances are you wouldn't either. I think that's pretty good. But we're grateful for parents and particularly moms today, and we plan to honor them. My mom, Margaret, my wife, Donna, the mother of our five children, my daughter, Jacqueline, who's the mother of my four granddaughters, are going to get together today, and we're going to spend a little time just showing our appreciation. But can I tell you this before we kind of get along the road here is we're honoring moms on this day, Mother's Day. And doing kind things for them and thinking of them and getting little gifts for them and little cards. Can I encourage you that, you know what moms really want? I'll let you know a little secret that I'm learning, okay? They want to be treated kindly, you know, and little expressions of appreciation throughout the year rather than limiting it to one day. Right, moms? Am I right on that? Yeah, okay. Okay, just checking. Just checking. Well, listen, we're in Proverbs 31, moms, where we have really a model of a magnificent and a wonderful mom. The title of my message is The Heart of a Godly Family. Now, ladies, I don't want to offend you and make you all uptight on this day, Mother's Day, but I do think it important for a couple of reasons to look at this passage. Number one, it sets the standard, okay? None of us have reached perfection, but we are to press towards that mark, towards a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And certainly, motherhood is a high calling of God. And it's not an easy calling, okay? And so I want to encourage you, though, and put before you your calling and continue to clarify how important and significant your calling is in the eyes of God. I also want to encourage husbands not to be nudging their wives. Children not to be giving a look at their moms going, yeah, do you hear that? You, I want you to pray that God will help them and be an encouragement to them. And in this, draw light to the areas where you can speak and say, you know what, Mom, you are this person. You do this. You do that, you see. And you love in that way. And you live in that way. And encourage them and pray for them. Because it's not easy, this thing called motherhood. It's a tough task. Moms are so important in our lives to come along and encourage and be there for us and have been there for us and continue to be there for us. And they fix meals for us and they do the laundry and they hug us and they, you know, wipe our faces when our nose was runny. Remember that? Disgusting job. And they give us cards and they write us letters. In fact, nobody can write a letter like a mom. I'm going to share one mom's letter that I pulled off the internet that was written to her son in college. She was a country lady and not very well educated, but she loved her son. And so she wrote him a letter, just kind of informing him as to what was going on. And it read like this. Dear son, just a few lines to let you know that I'm still alive. I'm writing this letter slowly because I know that you can't read very fast. You won't know the house when you've come home. We've moved. about your father. He has a new job, a lovely job. He has 500 men under him. He's cutting grass at the local cemetery. And listen, in these new digs, I discovered what I thought was a washing machine, and it doesn't work though very well. You see, what happened is last week I stuffed 14 shirts into it, pushed the lever down, and I haven't seen the shirt since. Your sister Mary had a baby this morning. I haven't found out whether it's a boy or a girl, so I don't know whether you're an aunt or an uncle. First service, it took him a little while to get that one. And hey, guess your Uncle Bill drowned last week in a vat of whiskey at a local brewery. Some of his co-workers dived in to save him, but he fought them off bravely. And we cremated his body, and it took 3 days to put out the fire. Oh, and by the way, she says, it rained only twice last week, first for 3 days and then for 4 days. Took a little while for a service for that one to sink into. She says, Monday, it was so windy that one of our chickens laid the same egg 4 times. It's one of those high desert winds. We know what that is here. Comes out, blows it back in. You know, that's the way it is. We had a letter yesterday, honey, from the undertaker, and he said that if the last statement isn't paid on your grandmother within 7 days, up she comes. Signed, your loving mother. P.S. I was going to send you $50, but I had already sealed the envelope. Oh, so typical. There's nobody like mom. Children are sweet and dads are great, but moms are special. And the father may be the head of the home, the children the hub of the home, but I think we all know it's true. Mom is truly the heart of the home. Little babies sense that from the time they're born. And you know, it's something that when the babies, those little babies actually become big boys, they still know that mom is the heart of the home. In fact, a survey asked boys who they would be most likely to confide in if they have the problem. And that the response was 23% said their father and 77% said their mother. Mom, you hold a special place. And here in this passage in Proverbs chapter 31, we have the most exhaustive exposition on mothers found in the Bible. And so I want to take some time and hold before you the preciousness of your calling and give you a hopefully greater thumbnail sketch of the clarity of the call that God has placed and the significance upon your ministry and your life. First of all, we see here the value of a mother's worth. How's that? Well, it says here in verse 10 of chapter 31, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. That's a New Living Translation. I like that. You see, it starts out, who can find a virtuous wife? It's not something, in other words, it's easy. And whoever does hits the jackpot. Proverbs 18 verse 22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. The New Living says, finds a treasure from the Lord. I want you to note here, as it starts, he starts with this question. He doesn't ask who can buy a virtuous wife. This is like some mail order bride. Okay? He doesn't say who can buy one, because a virtuous wife is not for sale. He asks who can find one. You see, the idea here implied is you've got to look. You've got to search. That word virtuous means strength. It speaks of her character. It speaks of who she is in her integrity and her purity. Who can find, he's saying, a woman today that will do what is right rather than what's convenient? Who can find a woman today who will put her family ahead of her career and responsibilities ahead of her rights? The kind of woman who will have the baby, who keeps her vows when she says, till death do us part, who sees fidelity and faithfulness as a virtue and infidelity as a vice. You have to look hard. You have to search diligently to find this kind of woman. A godly, a moral, a pure, a devoted wife. Who is loving and committed as a mom, not easy to find. Let me just tell you, if you're a single man in here today, the two most important decisions you'll ever make is number one, the Lord you serve, and number two, the lady you will marry. Now listen, guys, if you're single. The first decision will determine whether or not you experience heaven or hell in the life to come. You guys all already know where I'm going with this, don't you? The second decision will determine whether or not you experience heaven or hell in the life that is, okay? Let me just help you out on this. If you make the right decision concerning the Lord you serve, the first decision, if you make the right decision there, then guess what? You're in pretty good shape because He will help you make the right decision concerning the lady you will marry. Now, looks aren't bad, okay? But let me tell you, more than looks, more than money, more than personality, you better look for character in a woman, virtue, purity, fidelity, and above all, men, a love and passion for Jesus Christ as Lord of her life. That's why we read in verse 10, for the worth of a virtuous wife is far above rubies. A precious stone, the finding of a precious woman who loves God is like finding a rare jewel. And you know what? We need to realize how precious and how priceless the blessing of a wife, of a godly wife, a godly mom is. It's of great value. In fact, I think if we took and figured an hourly wage, even at minimum wage, we couldn't afford the wife and the mom that we have. But praise God, they're not in it for the money. Right, ladies? You're saying amen, right? Yeah. But I'll tell you what they'd like. Let me just help you out on this. You see, if we give them a weekly paycheck of appreciation, a daily paycheck of adoration, an hourly paycheck of acclamation, and a minute-by-minute paycheck of admiration and affirmation, guess what? That goes a long ways. Story of a man who spotted a lamp by the roadside. He picked it up and began rubbing it. And you know what happened, right? What happened? That's right. A genie appeared. Okay. Good. Good. You guys are up on your jokes. Okay. So he says, I don't know. That's an old joke. But anyhow, I'm going to grant you your fondest wish. The man thought for a moment. He said, okay, hey, here's the deal. I want, genie, a spectacular job, a job that no man has ever succeeded at or has ever attempted to do. The genie said, poof, you're a housewife. There you go. Right, ladies? Listen, I've done it for a few days here and there. I'm not good at it. I'm always thankful when my wife comes back. But as we study this godly woman here briefly in our time together, it would become very clear why mother is indeed the heart of the home. You see, secondly here, we see not only the value of a mother's worth, but we see the virtue of a mother's work. You see, she's the heart of the home because of the work that she does. One by one, the author here of this letter, as he's scrawling it out, gives us virtues that every mother who is godly possesses. And I hope that as we share go through this passage here in our time together, to build a brick upon a structure of appreciation and admiration and respect for the calling of God that he has placed on the women here, the wives and the moms. Brick number one, he calls to our attention the dependability of this woman. How's that? Verse 11. Her husband can trust her and she will greatly enrich his life, is what the New Living says. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. A woman who can be trusted. He's speaking now particularly of the area, I don't know if you caught the drift here, of finances. He talks about gain here. A good woman will not cause her husband to be bummed out about money. She will be prudent in managing the financial affairs of the home and exercise wisdom as to how she handles the checkbook and helps her husband, if he's the one handling it, keep the budget, you see. One of the major causes today of marital problems is money. You know why? Because many of us don't have a plan. I mean, I'll bet you there are people in this room that don't have a budget or a plan for their money. They just spend it. Oh, we got extra money this week. We got extra money. Yeah. And then the insurance payment comes due that we forgot about. And then all of a sudden we spent the extra money because we could do this and do that because we got extra money. And then that payment comes in and now you're out of money. Now you got to use a credit card and you get in debt more deeply. And you know what, man? It's a problem. You need to plan together, husband and wife, what you're going to do with the dollars. This woman understands the importance and the priority of that. There's a little poem. I don't mean to point out women. It's just the way the poem goes. I didn't write it, so don't stone me. There was a perfect marriage, except for one feminine flaw. He was fast on the deposit, but she was quicker on the draw. I know that's not true of any of you, but you may know somebody. You may know somebody that might need to hear that. But a godly wife and mom will not be a hindrance in the area of finances. She will guard the family finances. Secondly here, we see devotion. She does them good and not evil all the days of her life. A good and godly mom is one who is just a continual blessing to her family. She's one that never really runs dry. She does her husband good always and in all ways, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. She is there to support and to love her husband. Listen, one of the greatest things, ladies, you can do for your children is to love your husband as God has called you to do so. That's showing them what a good mom is. You see, key, devotion. Thirdly, delight. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. That word willingly means delightfully. And this is a challenge for all of us. That's why the Bible says, do all things heartily as unto the Lord. That means ironing. Yeah, that means ironing. Guys, it means taking out the trash, mowing the lawn, fixing whatever needs to be fixed. You see, moms, dads, attitudes are key. And what we see here is that this woman willingly works with her hands. She does what she does around the house with singing and rejoicing. Not out of compulsion, but out of compassion. Her labor is a labor of love. Love for her family. And love for Jesus, ultimately. Sometimes you can't do it just for them because they don't reciprocate. They don't respond properly. That's why, ladies, it's always important to do it as unto the Lord, because He never forgets it. They may never notice it. And if you have expectations of them, not that I'm saying they shouldn't, but if you have expectations of them, you'll be pretty cranky pretty quickly. You need to do all things as unto the Lord. That's the way this woman works. She is decisive. She's like a merchant, like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. The picture is that ships that travel to get the best product and the best deal, going across entire oceans looking for the good stuff. He's saying, listen, the godly mother is willing to go to the extra mile to get the best for her family. She does her homework, you see, in that capacity. She's also disciplined. She also rises, it says here in verse 15, while it is yet night, and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. Now, this woman is an early riser. I'm not implying that you have to rise early to be a good wife and a good mother. But the fact is, particularly when the children are younger, they don't sleep in sometimes, do they? Do they, ladies? You just barely got to bed, and all of a sudden, and now you got those monitors. I guess they're okay. We didn't have them. I didn't miss them. And you know what? I slept right through the cry. It wasn't intentional. I know you might think that. But I just slept right. And mom, my wife, she just woke up, just boom. It's a little, she could hear the whimper without the monitor. I don't know, it's just like she had this sense. You had that, guys? You ever had that where your wife just had this sense and she was there and you get up early because they wake you up early. Whether you like to get up or not. Like I heard about a man who was physically, not very well. And so I went to the doctor. The doctor was trying to make a proper diagnosis of his condition. And so the doctor said, hey, have you been sleeping well? The man said, yeah, I sleep just fine. He says, well, do you ever wake up grouchy? He says, oh, no, I just let her sleep. Now, why does this woman rise up early? Well, I like the way the Amplified Bible translates this verse. It says, she rises while it is yet night and gets, listen to this, spiritual food for her household and assigns her maids their task. I like that. That gives you ladies some insight. You're good and God bless you at providing the physical food and taking care of all the physical needs. But ladies, you have a significant impact in the areas of spirituality in your family. And you have need to first, before you can give, to get your needs met. And you have need to spend some time. This woman here spends time with God. She rises early so she can have a quiet time with God, that she might be right with Him and that she might be effective and wise in wise words, and the attacks that come daily will not take her and catch her off guard, you see, because she realizes the priority of spending time with the Lord so that she's ready to help her family get ready for the day and to strengthen and encourage them in their relationship with Jesus. To have wisdom when she sees the attacks of the enemy on them, to be able to pray rightly for them and help them work through the problem. And listen, there's nothing like a child knowing that his mom or her mom is reading God's word and praying. There's nothing like, oh, so you woke up early, and sometimes it happens, doesn't it, ladies? Well, I got up earlier to spend time with the Lord, and guess who got up earlier? My kids. They got up earlier than normal. I got up earlier so I can beat them. And then as soon as I got up earlier, yeah, it's like the enemy to attack you in that capacity. And you know what you do? There is a time, ladies, or you just say, you know what, honey, I'll be right with you. But you need to give mommy some quiet time. I need to spend some time praying. I need to finish here my Bible study that I'm doing. So you go ahead and you clean up your room or do whatever. And I'll be with you as soon as I get done here. You know what that teaches them? That teaches them the priority in your life. And the commitment that without distraction, to the best of your ability, I mean, I'm not saying if they come falling down the stairs or something, you go, I'll be right with you and clean up that blood, but I'm studying my Bible right now. You know, but you know what? To teach them that when mom's there with Bible open, that we don't interrupt her because she's spending time with Jesus that she desperately sees as a priority. I think that's a great example. Diligence as well. She considers a field and buys it from her prophets. She plants a vineyard. Now again, the Amplified Bible, I like the way it translates this verse. She considers a new field before she buys or accepts it, expanding prudently and not courting neglect of her present duties by assuming others. With her savings of time and strength, she plants fruitful vines in her vineyards. In other words, if it's necessary, this woman is not afraid to work to make an extra dollar or to save an extra dollar on the side if her family needs it. And listen, there's nothing wrong for those that might say, well, you know, a woman shouldn't work outside the home. You know what? I don't have verse and scripture for that. Some women are better money makers as well as better money managers than their husband. But I want to make a comment, and I'm going to give you 2 points. Moms, I'm not saying you can't work and that kind of a thing. But here's what I will say. Let me preface that. Relating to you 2 things. If at all possible, moms, when the children are young, you know what? You need to try to spend time at home. And dads, you need to do what you can, budget-wise and all, to help that be able to happen, okay? I realize sometimes that's impossible, but you need to have that as a goal. And for those that say, well, you know what? Why should moms stay at home and not dads? Can I give you a little insight that maybe you're not aware of or forgotten? Ladies, you have the equipment that dads don't have to help those little babies. Okay? Okay? God gave it to you, not to us. Okay? So guess what? Guess who's supposed to stay home? I mean, if at all possible, guess who God has equipped to take care of those children in that way, especially when they're young like that? It's the mom. So if possible, try to spend as much time as you can at home. And number 2, before you do take any outside work, and this woman appears to be taking a bit, you have to ask yourself 2 questions. Number 1, will this enhance me as a wife and a mother? In other words, is this going to help me do what God's called me to do here in my home? And number 2, will it be an encouragement to my husband? In other words, will your income compete with your husband and cause him to feel like you don't need him and you're not dependent on him? Or will it complete your husband and help him carry the burden? That's another thing you have to consider. And listen, let me give you another little tip. Well, we need more money. Have you ever talked to anybody that didn't need say they needed more money? Have you ever talked to anybody? No, don't give me a raise. No, really. But no, we want to give you a raise. No, we've got plenty. Listen, more money is a trap. You do well with what you got and ask God to help you and he'll take care of it. But you got to plan again for that. Sometimes, you know, so we get mom working, you know, and dad working, he's working this many, and then she's working X many hours, and, you know, and more money's coming in than you've ever had. And have you ever noticed it doesn't seem to help? You think, we're going to get ahead. You get ahead? No, you get crazy in the head, but you don't get ahead. You see, you need to consider God's priority there and be wise with what God has supplied already. And try to think of life, okay, let's see what we can live without. You ever thought about that? Listen, if money's the issue, then that's something that you and your husband need to talk about and budget and work out and become free of ever being dependent. If you are presently dependent on your wife's income and she is working, if she has to work, can I tell you the encouragement? Because the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 that wives are be dependent upon their husbands. Of course, the picture is the Christ in the church. How dependent is Jesus on me to help him, you know, like supply things? Not at all. We're completely dependent on him. The wife is to be dependent upon her husband in that way. You need to be able to take your wife, if she's having a tough time at work, not get in debt with her income considered, and say, you know what, if this guy's giving you a hard time, honey, come here. And you put your arms around you and say, you can quit that job. You don't need to put up with that stuff. You know what? Women love that. They really do. They're afraid of it now because they've been abused by men and so pushed into kind of an independence because they've been hurt, and men have been undependable. But the bottom line is every woman deep within her wants that man to be able to take her in his arms and say, you don't have to put up with any of that garbage. You just come home and you just be with me and we're good, man. You don't have to listen to that guy. You don't have to put up with that stuff. And so that's the calling there. That's the key. Next, we see determination. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. Now, it sounds like she's into bodybuilding. But what it really means is she's not afraid of hard work. She's willing to do her part, to shoulder the burdens, to do what it takes to make the home move in a harmonious way. We see the next one, discernment here. She perceives in verse 18 that her merchandise is good and her lamp doesn't go out by night. The New International Version translates it this way. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp doesn't go out at night. In other words, she's a student of economics. Again, she knows how to stretch the dollar. She knows how to do the coupon thing and shop for the best buy. She's not sucked into every so-called sale or bargain. She looks for the biggest bang for the bucks, and she tries to pass that on to her children, to her family, teaching them to do the same and helping them not to get mired in the maze and the trap of materialism. You see, that's an important thing as well. We see next diversity. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle, verse 19. Now, the spindle and the distaff were used to sew and make clothing for the family in that day. This is a woman who has a practical knowledge of how to do things and wants to learn things that keep the household going. She's really, in the best sense of the word, a true godly, innovative, excited and inventive homemaker. The glue, really, that holds the family together in many ways. There's an old saying, a man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. You know what? That's true, isn't it, ladies? In fact, someone has observed the quickest way for a mother to get her children's attention is to sit down and look comfortable. So next time, ladies, I got an idea. Next time, like, you're tempted to yell at them to get their attention, just whatever you were doing in the kitchen, just go into the couch, sit down and flip on the TV and just sit there and relax. I guarantee you they'll come. They'll come looking. What are you doing sitting there? You know, you're supposed to be busy and trying to get us busy. That's, God help us. I heard about a little boy and his dad who were looking at the father's wedding album. The little boy saw mom standing there in the wedding dress, and he said, Daddy, is that when mom came to work for us? Sometimes that's how it feels, isn't it, ladies? Thank God for the hardworking moms. Next thing we see, a dutiful woman. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy there in verse 20. This is a woman who not only cares for her home and takes care of things in the four walls of her house, but she also reaches out to others, and she ministers to her family. And then by teaching them, she ministers through her family, reaching out to the others around her, teaching them not to just look at their own needs, but to consider others as well. Those who are less fortunate or more needy than they. And then ways that they as a family can bless those that are in that place. Next, we see her dedication. She's not afraid of snow for her household in verse 21. For all her household is clothed with scarlet. Now, scarlet in that day was generally made of wool. And this verse is telling us that a mother, a good mother, has her family prepared in that way for emergencies. She makes sure her family stays warm. In other words, in cold weather, cool in hot weather, comfortable in any weather. She makes sure the family is prepared for any emergency, no matter what may come. Then we see next that she's about fashion or decorum, decoration. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen, verse 22, in purple. This is a woman who wants to look her very best. How do I know that? Because of the colors mentioned. You see, purple here was a color, and the type of material, rather, is that of dressy clothing. She, you know, fine linen and purple were the dress clothes of the day. So this woman was a woman who wanted to look good. And you know what, ladies? That's something that I think that, you know, you need to kind of pay attention to. You know, you can get busy and get, you know, caught up in meeting the needs of the family and not take care of yourself. And so you need to kind of, you know, keep it going on that way. Look good. You don't have to dress like a teenager, but you don't have to dress like your grandmother either. You know, your grandmother looks good in that outfit, but you look weird in grandma's outfit, you know. So kind of keep yourself dressed nicely. And then, of course, you know, there are certain denominations and religious groups that think it's a sin for a woman to wear makeup. And as I've said before, I think it might be a sin for some to not wear makeup. I know myself, it's getting to be more and more of a sin. I wish men were fashionable when it comes to makeup, because I might need some right now. I'm thinking as I look at these pictures and my color and then these blotches, you know what? I wish I could wear makeup, but if I started, you guys would go, what's going on with Pastor? And so, but you know what? You know, take care of yourself. You look the very best for your husband, and just as a husband, men should look the very best and smell the very best. I have that in there. And sons, you know, dress nice. You know, it's Mom's Day. She likes to see you, you know, without your holy jeans on, and you know, do a little. See, look at I kind of dressed. Did you notice I dressed it up? I dressed it up a little bit. I know that's kind of what my mom likes, and my wife actually likes this as well or something. I don't know why, but they do, okay? So you ought to make yourself and keep yourself attractive, as if you were going to go, you know, to some office party or some, you know, highfalutin, you know, party thing. Yeah, you ought to keep yourself looking nice, you see. Don't ever let yourself get in the shape of, you know, what Phyllis Diller portrayed. Remember? How many of you remember Phyllis Diller? Raise your hands. Okay. Yeah. For those of you that don't, pop on the internet and take a look. She used to joke about the way she looked, and it's a good thing. Because she said once that she spent 7 hours in a beauty parlor, and that was just for an estimate. Just for an estimate. Next, we look at deference here. Her husband is known in the gates, verse 23, when he sits among the elders of the land. The gates of the city were a place of commerce and business in that day. And what we have pictured and portrayed here is a woman whose husband was successful because his wife made him successful. Men, remember that verse 23 would not be true of the husband if verse 10 through 22 were not true of the wife. Let me just let you guys in on a little thing that you probably know, but it's worth reminding you of. I am so thankful. I could not do what I do. And I could not be here and be used by God in the way that I've been allowed to without the willingness of my wife, you know, to be there, to allow me the freedom to minister to the body of Christ, to sacrificially take care of things and live kind of in an unseen world, you know, so that I could do what God has called me to do. And I greatly appreciate and you know, respect and recognize how precious she is to allow me to be able to do what I do. She's an amazing woman, and she is the one who really has helped me along and been a tremendous helpmeet to me to allow me to do what God's called me to do. And I believe any successful man in that way who is married has a wife that gets a lot of the credit and deserves a lot of the recognition for the success of that man. It says, we see drive as well here. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Now, this is a woman, in other words, who hates idleness. She wants to be productive. She doesn't want to spend all day watching as the stomach pumps or the edge of garbage on TV. Thank God they're finally going off. Soap operas. You ever heard of them? Yeah. A lot of them going out of business, thank God. Messing up the housewife's mind who sits there. And you know what? I hope that's not a picture of you. And let me tell you, ladies, a TV, and men and kids. You know how much good godly stuff is on television? 5%. Not much. Not much. When you sit down to watch TV, you need to think, okay, so let's say Jesus is sitting here right next to me. Would I be watching that and laughing at that? Oh, Pastor, you just ruined about most of my shows. Okay. I'm down with that. I'm okay with that. Because you know what? If God wouldn't approve, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's living inside of you. What, do you want to take him and expose him to that filth, that garbage? Oh, yeah, but, you know, it's just real. Yeah, it's real. It's real in the sense that they're, you know, they write storylines and seduce you and deceive you and stir up certain feelings in you. Listen, I'd much rather have God's word do it through the work of his spirit than some TV manufacturing garbage to try and stimulate life and you know, activity. Forget it. You don't need it. You see? I'm not saying you can't watch TV, but be careful of what you watch on TV and the time you spend watching the TV. This woman is busy. She believes that idle hands are the devil's workshop. She wants to be engaged in activities that will bring glory to God and enhance and strengthen her family and her husband, you see. We also see dignity here that is displayed. Strength and honor are her clothing, verse 25. The word honor means dignity. She's a woman, again, who is a woman of integrity. She dresses like a lady modestly. She looks like a lady. She acts like a lady. She talks like a lady. She sounds like a lady. And it says here in verse 25, it goes on to say, she shall rejoice in time to come. Because of her faith, she can face the future and rejoice in what is to come her way. Because she's not afraid of the future. Because she knows that her life and her family is in God's hand. And that he is a mighty and powerful God who has a purpose and a plan for what is going on in her life. Then we see her demeanor as well. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Nobody sets the atmosphere in a home more than you, ladies. You set the atmosphere there. This woman doesn't yell or scream or raise her voice, at least not too often. I'll give you a little bit, okay? I'll give you a little bit on that one. But her voice primarily is like soothing music. It sweetens the atmosphere of the home. She says the right thing because she speaks with wisdom. And she says it the right way. I'm so bad at that. My wife is so trying to help me on that. You know, I can say the right thing, but the wrong way. You ever do that? You say the right thing, but it sounds harsh. It sounds mean. It sounds angry. It sounds like you have a bad attitude. Even when you don't have a bad attitude, you can sound that way. We need to be careful how we communicate one with another. A soft answer, the Bible, you're saying, where is that in the scripture? A soft answer turns away wrath. The law of kindness ought to be on our lips. You see, that is an area that my wife is so helping me in and praying for me in, and I need desperate help in. Her demeanor, she is so much kinder than I am and gentler than I am and sweeter, and God's at work on me. But ladies, be careful of that. She has discretion. She watches over, verse 27, the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, she keeps the household running smoothly, runs a tight ship, never falls asleep at her post. And the husband trusts her with every facet of the home, even when he's out of town, knowing that the wife can handle the business and the affairs of the family. Again, my wife, earlier years in ministry, man, I was running here and running there, doing the Harvest Workers Christian training classes, and I was able to do that and the freedom to do that. And my wife with five children, and you guys are looking at me going, what kind of a husband are you? The husband that has an awesome wife, that's what kind of a husband I was. And you know what? She was well able to handle the children. I didn't have to worry. Didn't have to wonder, are the bills going to get paid? Is everything, going to go okay? Is it all going to fall apart? I didn't have to worry about any of that because she loved the Lord. She was able to handle it. She wasn't panicked about it. That doesn't mean I didn't get a few calls on some of my kids every once in a while. But for the most part, I mean, I had no problems. I mean, she loved the Lord and she loved those kids, and I was free to go. When you read all this, I'm looking at this and I'm going, you poor ladies. It's not an easy job that I've just described, is it? Not a simple task. And there are times where when you're in the middle of this task and the kids are not responding and things seem like they're getting worse, you just are tempted to give it up, aren't you? Throw in the towel. Let's just forget this. But ladies, can I encourage you today not to do that, to press on, to press towards that mark of the high calling in Christ? Because let me remind you of one other thing here that is laid out clearly in this passage, and then we'll close. And that is the victory of a mother's walk. Look at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her what? Blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but babe, you're better than them all. That's my translation. You, there's none like you. Listen, husbands, if you have any common sense at all, if you have half of a brain, praising your wife is something that should flow frequently from your lips and your life. Kids, unless you're ungrateful losers, man, if you want to be a winner and turn it around, you need to rise up constantly and call your mother blessed and bless her and thank her and appreciate her. Because isn't it a fact, everybody loves to be praised. But doesn't the greatest praise come from those who know you best? It'd be one thing. Let me give you a little picture. It'd be one thing if you come up to me and say, you know what, Pastor, that was a great message, great sermon. That was really, you know, life-changing, heartfelt, powerful. That'd be great. I'd be blessed if you did that. But if Billy Graham came up and told me that, and when my wife comes up and tells me that, guess what? That really means something to me. Especially when my wife comes and says, hon, because I ask her. And I love the fact that she's honest and speaks the truth in love. That was okay. You like stuttered and stammered a lot, but the content was still there. Or here's another one. It was good, hon, but you should have finished. You kept finishing, and then you finished, and then you finished again, and then you said it again, and you said it again. And some of you are sitting here going, yeah, amen, I'm glad she's there. Right? God help him, right? Okay. So keep praying for my wife. And that's. But when she comes and says, hey, you know what? That was a great message. Man, hon, that was awesome. You know what? I dragged that into my best Bible studies ever list. Because of praise coming from those closest to you, your family. You see, just like when you write the cards to your mom today and you give her praise and thanksgiving specifically for things that you recognize that she has impacted you with that are wonderful and incredible. Guess what, man? That means so much to her. See, those things ought to come out of us, not just Mother's Day, though. There ought to be a flow of that from our lives. Ladies, listen, don't work. And this is a word to you. Don't work for what people outside your home, your own home and house think about you. Don't do that. You know what? Seek to bring praise from the lips of your husband and the lips of your children, and to seek and put your energy and your effort and your priority there. Because that's where the rubber meets the road, you see. No legacy of a woman lasts longer than the legacy of being a godly wife and a godly mother. He closes with this, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, verse 30, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Charm is deceitful, because what a woman is in public, she may not be in private. She may charm you in public, but she may be the wicked witch of the West in private. That's true of men, that's true of people in general, isn't it? Beauty is vain. Why? Because even in our best efforts, it's fading. The outward physical beauty, I know. I was looking at some pictures. It's tough when I look at myself. You know, 10 years ago, I go, wow. Man, you've aged, dude. And I love not to look at myself with glasses on because I look so much better without my glasses on. I mean, it's a little brutal without glasses, but boy, when you put the glasses on, whoa! Beauty is vain. Do the best. But know this, the godliness and the graciousness of a heart that has been changed and touched by Jesus, from which he is flowing constantly, even when the old, you know, age sets in and you're not looking like you once did. You see, it's almost like this inner beauty overwhelms what's going on outwardly. And there's a beauty. There is such a beauty in your love for Jesus and your life for Jesus and the kindness and the gentleness and the joy that he brings to your life. Listen, every woman can be beautiful in Christ. I want to say close by saying to every mother and wife here, no matter what else is true about you, if you don't fear the Lord, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't love the Lord, you can't be the wife and the mother that God has called you to be. And you'll find this idea of motherhood and the things that I've shared with you a wonderful fairy tale, but it'll never be true of you because you can't do these things in your own strength. Right, ladies? You need help. You need help. But let me tell you this. If you come to Christ, there's no more powerful force on planet Earth than the life of a godly wife and a godly mother. Sold out to Christ, committed to her husband, devoted to her children, dedicated to her home. It's not just, me up here saying this. Theodore Roosevelt said at the turn of the century, and I quote, "When all is said, it is the mother, and the mother only, who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable as well as a more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist." Ladies, recognize that. Okay? So many being seduced away from that, lured away from that. And our nation is suffering like it never has because of that very thing. Moms aren't able to be moms at home and raise their children and impact their children anymore. They're distracted and caught up into the things of this world and the priorities and the values of this world. If you would only realize how important it is that you be a godly mom. Just in case, though, the feminist or chauvinist thinks that Theodore Roosevelt was wrong and overstated the case, I want you to remember something else. This will be a little reminder every time you go to the grocery store. Every time you pick up a bottle of ketchup, some of you may buy Del Monte, but what do you usually buy? What's the probably the most popular ketchup out there? It's what? Heinz 57, right? Heinz. It's Heinz ketchup. Well, guess what? Let me tell you a little something. You see, in the will of Henry J. Heinz, when it was read, it contained the following confession, and I quote, "Looking forward to the time when my earthly career will end, I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will, as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I also desire to bear witness to the fact that throughout my life, in which there were unusual joys and sorrows, I have been wonderfully sustained by my faith in God through Jesus Christ. This legacy was left me by my consecrated mother, a woman of strong faith, and to it I attribute any success I have attained." Hey, moms, it's an honorable place to be. You have tremendous power to influence. You are the heart of the home. And at the center of your heart, they need to see Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in your life. We love you. We appreciate you. God, help us to praise you more frequently, to get you little cards on just for no reason and just let you know what we appreciate about you. And may God help us as husbands to pray for them, because as we have just read, I think you would agree with me, it's not an easy position. It's a difficult ministry. There's a lot by way of attacks of the enemy to try and distract them away from God's calling. God, help us to be encouragement to that end. We honor you, moms. We love you. We appreciate you. Let's pray.